gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, or over the church. And in that, it brought us into a lot of scripture, a lot of thoughts, what all that means. And I don't know if y'all know it or not, but pictures help me. I like pictures. And so, I can never read real good, but I can always look at pictures, right? And so, what we have found in this, that the Christ is building the church. God is building the church. And the Father calls the chosen, Ephesians chapter 1, He calls those who are going to be part of the church. He knew you before the foundation of the world, right? And the prophecy is over. There you go. I'm sorry, stretching your neck out. And so, He calls you, all right? And He has called us to be conformed into the image of God. So when He calls us, we're like that little bit of a grapple over here. This is that grapple, this packing stone, right? And we're all kind of out of shape. We're all in a different form. We all have our flesh, our sinful things that are surrounding us and makes us who we are, right? Our characteristics, the sin that is in mankind. But God takes these chosen stones out of all the world. He chooses you out, and then He starts to conform you. And in that conforming us, He starts chiseling all those crooked and out-of-shape things off of you. He starts dealing with your sin personally. And He brings each stone, no matter what its shape it is, no matter what the things that are going on in that stone's life, He takes that and He starts to mold it and make it and shape it into the image of God. To build us, that's Romans 8:29, to be conformed into the image of Christ. Now, to be conformed into the image of Christ, we know that He is the cornerstone. That cornerstone is perfect. It's perfectly level. It's perfectly shaped. And we're supposed to be conformed into that. So how do you get conformed into that? Well, first you've got to know what the image of God is, what we're being conformed into. And relaxing in the Father that He knows how to do it. Because personally, I don't know how to conform Joshua. I don't know what his hang-up is. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what Justin's is or any of us here. I don't know how to conform you. But God does. God takes us individually and changes us, knocks off the rusty parts, shapes us into whatever we can be, into the body of Christ, into the church. And in that body, guess what? Hell shall not prevail. Alright? Hell's not going to win over that. To be part of this living stones right here that are going to be conformed into the building blocks of the holy house of God, there's some things that need to take place. First, you must hear the call of God on your life. How many people does God call? Amen. All. Amen. Praise God. We know that God calls all of us. So why do some answer the call affirmatively and some don't? All right? Their free will. We have a free will. Amen? And in that free will, God already knows which side you're going to pick. Because He's outside of our time space. He's outside. His thoughts are higher than ours. His ways are not our ways. He does things outside of what we can comprehend. Because if you knew me before I knew Christ, you would say, no way that person could ever come to the Lord. He is so outside of what the confines of the Scripture contain. But God. But God found that ugly, dirty, deformed, non-malleable, like that word? Malleable? Non-malleable stone. And He took it. He put it under pressure. He changed it. He taught what He was expecting out of that stone. And He trimmed away all that dead stuff. Or is trimming away all the dead stuff. Because every day I got new growth. Amen? Some growth is through the flesh, some growth is through the spirit. Now, ooh, I thought I was closer to the step. Oh, it fell down. Now, if I were standing closer to the vine of God, it would be easier for me to submit my will to His will. The problem is me. My will, my desire, you know, what I want. And God says, what you want, Curtis, doesn't matter. What matters is what I want to do in you. Now, at that point, when that God starts revealing that to you, your job is to say, amen. It's to say, yes, God.
what you say is right, what I believe or what I think, if it does not line up with what you're telling me through your word and through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, then I must change. And He gives us a free will to offer that up as an offering, a sin sacrifice unto the Lord. Right? So the things that need to die in me, He shows them to me. I bring them to the altar of God, and God says, I'll take that, and I will kill it with you. Not for you, but with you, because you have a free will. And in that dying of the flesh, you become more like unto the perfect cornerstone of Jesus Christ. Today we're going to be talking about living stones to be made a holy house. And we know that Paul, speaking of the master builder in 1 Corinthians 3 and 10, says he is a master builder and he has laid the foundation. All right, he laid the firm foundation, which is Christ Jesus, right? And we'll get into that as we get into this. So as these things were bouncing around in my head this week, this ideal came up. And in that, the pillars of faith, the overcomers in Revelation chapter 3, because he says, I will make you pillars in the house of God. So to become a pillar in the house of God, that means I must be an overcomer today, right now. All right? Whatever it is I need to overcome in my personal life, I need to do that now. Because I am not promised my next breath. All right? God has not said, Curtis, I'm going to let you know in 25 seconds you're going to drop over dead. Right? Yeah. I didn't, so praise God. So I have time to conform. I have time to change. So in that confirmation, in that changing, you become an overcomer as you overcome the works of the flesh, the sin and the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. You overcome those by walking with Jesus Christ in such a way that you are willing to be malleable in the hands of God. Amen. So that's the overall. I don't have to say anything else. Say, young girl. No, that's the beginning of where we're going as living stones. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're thanking you, Lord God, for your wonderful work, for your word, Lord Father. I pray that as we open up into this teaching today, Lord, you will show us in our personal lives, Father, what must be changed, that we would be indeed those living stones that you have called us to be. Father, help us to be moldable. Help us, Father, to be that piece of clay in the potter's hands where he can break it and remake it into an image that he wants done. Father, help us all to know that, to see it, and then give us faith to walk in those things. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, what we've already talked about, we've been looking at the church and how it's built. All right? I love the way that Jesus said that he was going to build the church because I can put everything in a carpenter form now. All right? And I like carpenter. I like building things. I like taking stuff that don't look like nothing and changing it and shaping it and cutting it and beating it and, you know, forming it into something different. I mean, there's nothing quite like getting a tree cut down out of your yard, cutting it into boards, and building those boards into something. Great. Amen. God does that with us. Amen. But we need to be willing to be cut down and to be reformed. All right. So Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. He hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame. All right. In him, in love, in charity, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Christ Jesus to himself, the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Let's look at that just for a second. All right? Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4 through 6. He hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. When did God choose you?
Before.
It was before. Before the Spirit of God moved over the darkness of the waters on the world, before that, He knew you. He knew the scarlet thread that was going to be spread out from the very before creation. Because again, before creation, before the foundations of the world, God saw the cross of Jesus Christ. He saw the need for the death of the righteous to cover the unrighteous. Before anything was ever thought of by the human mind, before anything was ever saw by human eyes, God said, I know there needs to be Savior, because I'm going to make a people group, a human race, in my image that's going to sin against me. Now, in that, I know that there is a bloodline, the blood of Christ, that's going to run through all of eternity, all of time. And there will be people who will have faith because of my work. There will be people that hear the word of God, believe it in such a way that it will change their life from a sinner to a saint. He knew that. He knew who you were long before you ever stepped foot on the planet, long before your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather ever thought of knowing your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother. Long before those things ever happened, he knew you. And he loved you. And he wanted to call you adopted. And I like the idea of adoption because out of having birth, naturally, you really don't get to choose, right? You get whatever comes out, right? And it's, but in adoption, you get to see them, spend time with them, you get to know them, and you get to pick them. You're adopted. God knew you. He saw you. He called you, and then he took you in to himself, that you could be part of him. What a blessing from God. To know that you're chosen out of all the stones, all of the rocks, all of the darkness, all of the people throughout all of the earth, God knows you by name. Before the foundation of the world, he knew you by name. Maybe not the name that you're known, well, he did know the name that you're known of in this world, but he has a new name for you, and we'll get to that. Amen. He has something for you. And he has chosen us to be in him, and I added to be. He has, verse 4, he, God, has chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. Why? That we should be holy and without blame in him, before him, in love. Now, catch the words here really carefully. All right, Ephesians 1, chapter 4, verse 4. He hath chosen us to be in him. So where are you seated? Inside of Christ. Right? You are inside of Christ. He is your propitiation, your covering. And if you have answered the call of God affirmatively, yes, God, you're God, I'm not. That means he knew you before the foundation of the world. And he said, I'm going to cover that individual with my righteousness. I'm going to cover that unrighteous stone in my righteousness. And I'm going to start changing him. He is adopted in me. Who does all the work here?
Christ.
Jesus is doing all the work. Our biggest thing is accepting it in such a way that we're allowing him through our free will to be molded into the shape of Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you guys, but for me, it's really hard because I want what I want. And what I want isn't always what God wants for me, right? I mean, there's a lot of stuff in my mind right now that I want this. I want to go bull hunting this year. But I'm just not going to have time. Why? Because God's called me to do something different. By the grace of God, when shotgun season comes up, I'll be able to go then. But until then, no. God's called me to do something else. So guess what I didn't buy this year? A bow license. But by the grace of God, what I'm saying, my flesh is saying, I want to do that. But the spirit in me says, no, you can't do that. Not this year, maybe next year. Maybe not next year. Someday in the future, when God has prepared me properly for that, I'll be able to go back and do it. But until then, I can't. I don't know if you have anything like that. Here's another one. All right, this just happened last night. I want to go see my new grandson. I do. He was born last night. This morning, I am struggling. I want to jump on an airplane and fly to Alabama now. But I can't. All right, there's things I must do. As much as I would love to see him, as much as I'd love to kiss him and hold him and all those things that a granddaddy does to his grandson, as much as I'd like to do that, I can't.
Why? Because God has called me to something different right now. It's not that I won't ever be able to do that, but until that day comes, I must be content, no matter what state I'm in. God has called me here for now. Y'all all have those things in your life. Now, those are two things in my life I can lay out real quick. A real short, light one, bow hunting, and a real deep one, the birth of a new grandson. Right? Those things are two things that I want to do, but God has called me to stand my ground until then. And He has done that before the foundation of the world, that I should be holy and without blame before Him in charity, in love. I should, no matter what happens, my main goal is to stand in Christ Jesus, to be conformed into His image, to become one of these living stones down here built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, shot from the level line of the cornerstone, shot from that point. And if you don't know what I mean by shot from, if you're doing any kind of construction work, you are building, you have a cornerstone, and all of your measurements are shot from that place. Alright? You have a dot on the wall, and everything runs off of that dot. Everything's got to be level with that dot. If it's not level with that dot, then your whole building's going to be tilted or out of square. See, Jesus, my example, is the perfect cornerstone. And Jesus did a lot of stuff that He really didn't want to do. One was going to the cross. He prayed three times. If there be any way, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, thy will be done. Right? We ought to have that. If we're going to be conformed into the image of God as a living stone that's supposed to be holy and blameless before God, we must be willing to allow God to do whatever work needs to be done in us at whatever time He chooses to do it in us. It's no longer my will that must be done, but His will that needs to be done in me, that I might be, or we might be, part of that holy habitation of God. As the Scripture continues to say, just a little bit further down, that we should be holy and without blame before Him, in front of Christ in love. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Christ Jesus to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Why did He do it? Why did He save you? Because He wanted to. It was His good pleasure. He looked down and He said, Kevin, you will never know why I saved you except I wanted to. You'll never look inside of your heart and find anything that's worthy of your salvation. But I love you. I want to conform you. I want to adopt you. The Father said throughout time and history, He said, I want to cover you with my grace. I want to reach down into your life while you are yet a sinner. I want to die for you. It's my good pleasure to take your sin upon me. Any Christian that is born again needs to understand, as we accept the call of God, that is what God is saying to us. I love you. I die for you. I want you to be conformed into my image, that on this earth I should be glorified through your life. That's a hard thing, because I'm in the middle of that. And what's in the middle of sin? S-I-N. I am in the middle of sin. But God. Right? But God, in the middle of my sin, but God showed His mercy. He predestined me. He called me. He wants to change me. You. I'm making this all about me. You know why I make it about me so much? And the reason I do this about me, because it is personal between me and Him. As I write these things, as I read these things, as I open up the Scripture, God's talking to me. And maybe as He's talking to me, I can lay what He showed me out in such a way that I don't seem accusatory to anyone else. The Spirit told me that I needed to tell you that the reason I'm talking me, I, it's not because I'm conceited. It's that I don't want to put this, my burden, on you. That takes the Holy Spirit. If this is touching you in any way, the Holy Spirit wants to convict you individually. He wants to talk to you about your rough spots.
And he allows me to be the sheepdog.
I'm
not the shepherd. I'm just a pastor. And he allows me to be broken before you. And he wants you to know that I am no different than you are. And I need to change just like you need to change. So as I'm speaking that, Lord, for some reason, I don't know if y'all were sensing it or thinking about it. Like,
he's just talking about himself.
A lot of me came out of that, but it's
Amen. Us.
Amen. Amen. It's us. Okay, and so having predestined us, amen, there it is, unto the adoption of children by Christ Jesus to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to become the praise of the glory of his grace. We are supposed to become, not that you are yet, but you're to become, to be changed, to be molded into the glory of his grace. So when the lost and dying world see you, they see the glory of his grace. They see broken people being used by a mighty God. The world sees an emptiness being filled by the grace and the mercy and the power of a risen Savior. That's what it means to be part of the church. That's what it means to be a living stone. Not a living stone. A living stone is that every day something needs to change. Every day in me, because I'm a living stone, something needs to be moved in me and on me. I will never make it in this flesh. But there is coming a wedding day. Right? There is coming a day where my faith shall be made sight. And my biggest desire is that I never let go of the truths of the power of Christ Jesus in me. Daily conforming us into the holy habitation of God, into a righteous building made for him. And he hath made us acceptable in the beloved. So now after Christ calls you, his chosen, we must respond. All right. It tells us in Matthew 22:14, for many are called, but few are chosen. And Jesus is, he's talking about heaven, the kingdom of heaven, and the marriage of his son. Many are called, but only a few are chosen. In that portion of Scripture, I hate just taking one line out of a whole parable and just using that one line. But out of that whole parable, the main thing that ties in what we're talking about today is that God calls a lot of people. He calls a lot of people, but he knows the heart of each individual person that he calls. And those who he knows will be malleable to the hand of God, conformable to the voice of God, he chooses those to become the building of God. Again, in Matthew 7:22, or 20 through 22, he says, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth my Father's will. So that doeth is that conforming. That being able to change, that being able to be molded and conformed into his image. His will, God's will, is that we become the house of God. That we are changed from one day to another day, from unrighteousness to righteousness. That he reveals his light, his love, his mercy, his compassion in us. And we change our selfish, rotten, conceited ways into the likeness of God. That is a work of the Holy Spirit. That's a miracle, even when that begins to happen in an individual's life. It's not like you can force it to happen. You relax inside of the hand of God. You confess the sin that is dwelling in you. God drives you to die to that sin. He drives you to die. He chastens you to die to the things that stop you from being conformed into his image. That's the mighty grace of God. That's the power of the Holy Spirit working in an individual, making us like the cornerstone. Cutting all those rough edges off of us, turning us into a brick that is suitable for the house of God. And in that being changed, being mortified, he has called many, but only a few are chosen. Just like this world, many are called, but only a few are chosen. 2 Peter 3:9 says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. All right?
So God's not slack concerning his promise, and the promise that we've been looking at is the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. What a promise. God's not slack about that. Some people say, well, that's never going to happen because the church is full of hypocrites. Which is true. I can't deny that one. Right? The church is full of hypocrites. But even in the body of Christ, he's doing a conforming work. I am not what I shall be. Alright? But one day, I will be like him. This corruption, amen, we talked about it in Sunday school this morning, this corruption will put on incorruption. There's coming a day where I will be made perfect. And from this day until that day, there's certain things that are within my power under the authority of God that I can offer to him to make me into the shape of Christ a little more every moment of every day. My prayer life could be better. My study could be better. Looking into the spiritual instead of just the physical. Looking for the kingdom of God and not the kingdom of this world. Trusting his word above what I see. Because what I see is not always real. His word, his ways are always real, but my ways are not. As some count slackness, but is long-suffering. This is still 3:9 of 2 Peter. Some people count it slack. But God, is long-suffering to us, Lord, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Check out what he just said there. Check out what Peter said. That God is not willing that any should perish. See, you flip that over and look at the underside. If you do not repent to be conformed into the image of God, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Period. It's not those who just say, Lord, Lord. It's those who do the will of God. And what is the will of God? To be conformed into the image of the Son. So what is the image of the Son? Look your scriptures and find Jesus Christ. The things that Jesus did, that ought to be your lifestyle. Okay, your lifestyle is the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you meet people, the way you love people, the way you pour whatever God gives you out into them. Standing for righteousness when nobody else does. You know, that's a form of godliness. Being willing to kick some tables over if you have to. Are you kidding? I'm loving it. Man, I tell you.
Thank the Lord for that.
In that, Peter had asked, Lord, we've left all for you. And Jesus said, whatever you left for me, I'm going to give that back to you.
Amen.
I may not have my grandbaby here in my hand, but I've got a grandbaby playing with a set of keys on the phone. And I'm all tearing up right now. So, anyhow, in and of that, amen, what I'm missing on this side, I'm gaining three times on this side. Amen. And so, God is doing a great work even in and on this. The Lord, he's not slack concerning his promises, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. See, some people count slackness, but God, he is long-suffering to usward, to the church. He's willing to put up with my stuff until I surrender to him. He's willing to allow me. He allows me to live until I'm completely conformed. He knows my heart. He doesn't look on the outside of me. He looks on the inside of me. He says, I can work with that. I can work with that. Yeah, you're messed up right now. The outside of you is messed up. It's cracked. There's nothing wonderful. But God says, I can take what's on the inside and I can work with that. He'll take that heart of stone and he will make it a heart of flesh. Takes that old man and makes it a complete a new man. See, God, he's some men count slackness because they don't see it in their time. Right? But it's not about our time. It's all about his time. It's his timing. People will come around to the, if you continually seek the will of God, you will eventually come around to the will of God. If you draw near, resist the devil. Well, if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Resist the devil and he shall flee. Right? First we draw near to God. We seek the Lord. We wait for his work. We look for his working in and on us. See, he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He doesn't want any person to go to hell. He wants all of us to get right with God. He wants us all to be right with him. And to those who do come to that place of repentance, they have been chosen. So, those who do not come, they use their free will not to come to the Lord. They were called, but they weren't chosen. The ones who did repent when God told them to repent, they did come to Jesus Christ. Whenever they came to Jesus Christ, God knew that before the foundation of the world, and he had predestined them to be adopted unto him. It's the most craziest thing if you stop and think about it. All right, so there's coming a day that we will be called to the supper of God. All right, so when we get there, we aren't sure that our name is on the table until we sit down in our spot.
Amen.
And when we sit down in our spot, you know, when you go to those fancy places to eat and they already got your name put out on the table, mm-hmm. you sit down and your name's already filled out. It's already there. It was there before the dinner was ever made. You were on the outside. You were on this physical side. And God said, I love you so much, I'm going to put your name on your spot before you ever get there, before the foundation of the world. And when you get there, I've got a place for you. He knows those who will repent. He knows those who will be allowing the Spirit to move in them freely to be conformed into the image of God. Praise God for that.
Amen.
See, I don't know. I don't know. So where's my eternal salvation at? My spirit communes with his spirit. When I read his word, he speaks to me. When I sin, he chastens me. When I do anything outside of the confines of the word of God, the Holy Spirit says, Curtis, I love you. Don't do that. And if I say, yes, God, I love you too, I won't do that, a chunk of my rottenness gets chopped off. Amen? And I'm conformed a little bit closer to the holy habitation of God. A little bit every day, every day. There's a little scrubbing that goes on every day. Taking a little more of me away and adding a little more of him every day. As long as I say, yes, Lord. And not, no, Lord. Because the other side can be true. I could be, the Lord says, Curtis, don't do that. And I say, Lord, I want to do that. I'm going to do that. Because there's a price to pay if you do that. I want to do that. That's okay. Do it. See what happens. Try that. Eat that. Do that. And when you do that, you know what? That peace that could have been blocked off with you and you get closer with God does not happen. And that peace starts to grow as a canker, a cancer, which continually drives you further and further and further away from the will of God. Until the day finally comes where God says, do you miss me yet? Do you miss me yet? Do you want me close? And you say, yeah, God, I want you close. He says, now cut that thing off. And when you cut that thing off, bam! He's right back at you. But don't think the work is done then. Because tomorrow there's another thing. Right? And in that other thing, he says, listen, if you love me, die to this. And let me tell you, over years of walking with God, the quicker I cut that thing off, the quicker I offer that thing, the closer I am with God. The more I hear from him, the more I understand the deeper things of God. The less of me, the more of him. The less of my flesh, the more of the Holy Spirit. Again, Galatians chapter 5, we could talk about that, but that's not where this is heading. Those who do come to repentance, they've been chosen by God. He goes through space and time, and he picks up the stones, us, living stones, that have the qualifications, that have the characteristics, that are suitable for the construction of the house of God. Not everyone is going to go to heaven. God knows those who are not suitable. God knows those stones out of all these stones drawn up here in the corner. He knows the ones that say, yes, Lord, I will be conformed. I am willing for you to do your work in me. And he knows those stones that are saying, no, I will never do it. I have people that I love in my life that say, no, I will never submit to the Bible. I will never submit to God's Word. And God knew that before the foundation of the world. They haven't yet. See, I don't know. Because there was a time in my life that I would have said, no, God, I will not do that. Until God change my heart. You were the same way. There was a time in your life where you said, no, I believe what I believe. I was a monkey's uncle. I believe that. And you held tight to that. Until the illumination came and said, no, you are made in the likeness and the image of the Most High God, and I love you. And that love is what drew you out. He says, I want you to be mine. I adopt you. I'm calling you. And I'm going to change you like a potter can do to his clay. When it is spun up and he builds something and he finds an impurity in it. Jeremiah talks about it. The impurity in it. And then he breaks it down. He rips that unclean thing out. Why can't we be like that potter's clay that the potter has full authority over? God wants us to be like that. That as God's spinning us up and he's molding us and he's making us and he's changing us into the living stones of God. And he says, listen, there's this thing before I can really put you in, before I can really concrete you down, this has got to change. When we say, yes, God, this has got to change. He will stop the spinning wheel because he loves you. And he will reach in and he will find that impure thing that he already knows is there. He says, let me take that out. Let me pull that out of you. Now let me reform you. Let me take what was an impure thing. Let me rewrap it in my love and my grace that you would be in my image. And then he reforms us. The only problem with us is I. Amen. I got a lot of those little things in me. But God, through his mercy and his grace and his all-sufficient knowledge, knows what needs to come out of us at the time it needs to come out of us. And it's his job to pull that out of us. See, I can't get rid of some things in my life right now. Right? I'm short. I can't help it. But someday, God's going to change that. Well, actually, I'm the perfect height. I'm not as short as that guy with shoe height. I'm just a little taller than him. Anyhow, none of that really matters. But God knows us as living stones, and he knows our characteristics. He knows that are those who are suitable. While we're in 1 Peter, go to 1 Peter chapter 2 and we'll start reading in verse 2. I said all that to start preaching. This is actually where that was. All of that was just the first page just to get the groundwork laid. So here we go, shooting off of the corner. Amen. Getting our straight lines. Well, actually, we'll start in verse 1 because verse 2 is a horrible place to start. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, hypocrisies and envy, and all evil speaking. All right, church, if we're really going to be made into the living image of God, we must lay aside, you know, that hard thing that was in our life that I talked about that God needs to pull out. He says, lay it aside. See, the beautiful thing about it, you already know what it is. So if you're born again, the Holy Spirit's already pierced your heart. He's already told you, this thing is what I want you to deal with today. This is it. Deal with it. Lay aside. If it happens to be malice, lay it aside. If it happens to be pride, I need to be right. Because we got some of that here. Amen? Amen. Well, I got to be right. I'm right. I'm always right. Stop it! Because when we get to the end, we're going to find out we were more wrong than right. Amen? It is okay to be incorrect, long as we teach with the best ability we have. Amen? We should never get so hard-hearted, so malice, so stuck in our thoughts that we can't be corrected. The problem with 90% of the pastors in America is they think that they know everything. Hey, I'm happy to be ignorant. I really am. All I know is Christ and Him crucified. Right? That's what I know. The one thing I do know is that I am in Him. And there's some reasons. And He says, I need to lay aside all that malice, all that guile, all the hypocrisy, the acting like Christians and not living like Christ. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. That's hypocrisy. There's a lot of people in the church that act like Christians, but they have no relationship with Jesus Christ. They know what I call the Christianese. It's like Chinese for Christians. They know the right scriptures to say. Are you born again? Oh, yes, I'm born again. John 3:16. I got it tattooed on my chest. I'm sorry. You must know a guy like that. So I got it. It's part of me. Well, how about 17, 18, and 19? Is that part of you too? Well, no. I can't. You know, I can't go that route. But I can go the first route. See, we need to stop being hypocrite and stop being envious and stop all evil speaking. That's a big one with me, okay? Evil speaking. It's not that I use curse words or nothing like that. But up until here recently, I spoke bad about the government. All right? And God was convicting me for a long time. George Bush, and that's where I started, okay? There's a lot of things, and I'm talking senior, not junior. All right? Actually, we got to go back to Carter, okay? Because I need to roll with that back a few years. I really started talking bad about the government during President Carter, the peanut president, during his time, right? And even at that point in time, God was saying, yeah, he may be a peanut president, but you asked for him, you got him, Toyota, right? This is what you got. This is what you asked for. God said that I put him there. Stop kicking him around. He's not your dog to kick. He's my dog. I'll do with him as I please. Up until now, okay, when was Carter president? 82, somewhere around there, I forget. When was it? Maybe in the 70s. It could be. Anyhow, from that time, right? From that time, I talked evil about all of it except for Ronald Reagan. I thought highly of him. Outside of that, rest of it, I didn't think too much of. And I talked bad about all of them. The Clintons, I talked bad about them. The government right here in New York, I talked bad about that. That was evil speaking. I read the scripture over and over. Every time I read the scripture over and over, God said, hey, you say that you're not evil speaking, but look at what you're doing to the people I put in charge.
Yeah. I love the internal dialogue.
Amen.
I love the internal.
Amen.
Over years.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so, evil speaking. We need to get out of this. And as we get out of that, we need to be like it is in chapter 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. How are we going to grow out of evil speaking and hypocrisies and all that stuff? It's right here. What's this? What is this? My Bible. Amen. And this little acronym, I don't know if it's absolutely correct. Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. B-I-B-L-E. That's the word for me. And really, that's what it is. If I really want to know more about God, I need to desire the Word of God. Do we really desire God's Word? Now, what does it mean to desire something? Want it. How bad do you want the Word of God? Do you want the Word of God more than Facebook? Twitter. How about that? You want the Word? How about your favorite John? This is one that was with me. John Wayne. I love the Duke. I really did. You know? And you've heard the story before, right? The Lord was dealing with me about 10%, right? And it wasn't just about tithing, because I've been tithing for a long time. But God said, no, 10% is more than just your money. How about your time? Right. So what do you mean, God? I give 10% of everything. He said, well, on Sunday afternoon, you spent an hour in church and you sit down and you watch the same stupid John Wayne movie for 4 hours. Or any of the Westerns. I can use John Wayne as that, but I like Wyatt Earp too. Brave, courageous, and bold. Long live the saying, long live the story, and long may its glory be told. Wyatt Earp, Wyatt Earp, brave, courageous, and bold. Y'all remember that? Anyhow. So that lets you know how bad I was caught up in that. All right? And God said, you need to do everything for me. You need to give everything, as it says right here. I desire the Western. Some of us desire football. Some of us desire the ball. I don't care what the ball is. It might even be the puck. I don't know. But I didn't know about the puck thing until I moved up north. You know. But they desire the ball. Or they desire the lawn. Right? My God is my lawn. And I mow it 3 times a day. I fertilize it. And so I spend all my time there. My desire is my family. Nothing wrong with loving your family. But if you love your family more than you love God, Jesus said, you must love me more than your mom, your dad, your brothers and sisters. If you don't love me more than these, you cannot be my student, my disciple. Where is our desire? Are we like these little babies when they get hungry? What do? They scream, right? They use all of their power within them, desiring to be fed. Does the church in 2021 in the nation of America, okay, just the church, because he's only talking about church people here, do we desire God's word like that infant desires milk? Or do we desire something else? If we want to grow thereby, we must desire the sincere milk of the Word. Now, the sincere milk of the Word is not what the professor tells you the milk of the Word is. All right? You know that? It is not what some radio preacher tells you the milk. It's not what I tell you. The milk of the Word is the very letter of the Word of God. It's every jot, every tittle. It's every word, every space in between the words. It's every comma, every... Do you desire this more than X? And I like to put X there because it doesn't matter what that X is. It could be farming. It could be your family. It could be your very own kids. Right? I love my kids so much that I can't go to church on Sunday because I got to bring them to the ball game. How stupid is that? I'm sending my kids to hell so they can play sports? Right? Well, oh, look, yeah. When you get to heaven, be sure to bring your trophy case. Right? What good is that going to do? Well, I won the blue ribbon. Wow, that's not going to burn in hell. We need to desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. See, we cannot grow without the Word of God. We can't grow in spirit. We can't be conformed into the image of God without the living Word of God being put in us hourly. How often do you feed that baby boy over there?
Too much.
Too much, right? All the time, right? All the time. We must be desiring to eat God's Word all the time. Thank you, Lord. We're on Wednesday nights, we're going through the John, the Gospel of John, and he said, it was in chapter 5, I am the bread, and you must eat me and drink my blood. You must consume this. You got to want it. You got to want it like you want nourishment. And if you don't want it like you want nourishment, like you need water and food, if you don't need the Word of God like that, you are not growing the way you ought to be growing. You're not being conformed the way you ought to be conformed. And the beautiful thing about being conformed, like we said before, is not me that's able to conform you. It's the Word of God that conforms you into the image of Christ. It's coming back to the cornerstone. And if I am over here built off out of shape instead of one of these nice squares, and I'm over here like this, and I'm supposed to be down here like this, something needs to change, right? So I need to be conformed, changed, made into the place that God has brought me to. And the only way I can do that is have a sincere desire for the Word of God. Because He chose us. And we're supposed to be precious. Anyhow, If so, now, again, this is why we know that we are in Christ, that this is for the church. All right, as the newborn babes desire the sincere milk of words, that you may grow thereby, if so, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Let me ask you, have you tasted that the Lord is gracious? Amen? Have you experienced the grace and the forgiveness and the love of God? Then you ought to be desiring Him more than anything of this world. It ought to be your first and foremost thing, the Word of God. All right. If so, you have tasted. Now, if you haven't tasted that the Lord is gracious, that the Lord loves you, that He wants you to be conformed into His image, if you haven't tasted that, you need to go back and get in line, right? Because He is gracious. He is compassionate. He is good. All right. Verse 4. To whom coming as into a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. All right, check this out real quick. Jesus Christ, He was disallowed by the builders. All right, the world did not accept Him, but God did. Now, to whom, coming as into a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but He's chosen of God, and He's precious. Oh, you're precious. You're so precious. You're precious because God loves you. Ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. All right, verse 5. You also, now we're supposed to be conformed into the image, this cornerstone of Christ. We're supposed to be conformed to become living stones in the building of God for a purpose, and that purpose is to offer up sacrifices that are acceptable to God. Do you know that you can sacrifice things that are not acceptable to God? Ask Aaron's two sons. They offered up strange fire. God killed them straight out. Come on now. We can offer up things that God does not want. We can bring lambs with broken legs. We can bring only half of our sin. I'm not into the groovy music and stuff, but there's a group out there called Casting Crowns. You probably have heard of it.
Not scriptural.
I know they're not scriptural, but they have this one good little catchy lyric in one of their ungodly songs. No, I'm sorry.
Amen.
Amen, right? Amen? And it's between the altar and the door. We bring our sacrifices to the altar of God, and we forget it before we get to the door. Right? We offer up our sin. We offer up our sin. We praise God. Oh, here I am, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. And then we pick up my sin right here and I stick it under my arm. And before I get to the door of the church, I pull it back out. And I go, oh, keep the sin. I just love you so much. I'm going to keep you from my very own. What good was that? It was a shill, a hypocrite. We're not supposed to be hypocrites. We're supposed to be honest and allowing God to take that sin. You know what would be great? We give this sin right here to God and He sits on the ground. That's what it's supposed to be like. My wife's going to be nasty like that. But that's what it's supposed to be like. Right? We give that sin to Him and He destroys it. That's a living stone. It's no longer my will, but His will that's being done. No longer me, but it's Him. We've got to get that point in our life that we are sincere about the work of God. Let us examine our actions, our attractions. Do we really desire His Word? Or are we really born again? Are we hungering and thirsting after righteousness as a baby does its mother's milk? Are we just happy with the hour or so that we spend in the pew? We've got to take it to God and give it to Him. See, John 6, 53 and 58, he put it this way, and this is what I was talking about. Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, ye have no life in you. Jesus said, unless you take it in and it becomes part of you. Again, verse 5, as living stones, you are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I laid in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Wow. You want to not be confounded? Get rid of that kind of stuff.
Amen.
You want to not be confounded? Start putting the Word of God in you instead of the teachings of man. You want to not be confounded? Know what truth is and hold on to truth. We've got to get that mindset to be that serious about life and death, eternity, immorality, being immortal with God, not immoral to God.
Huh.
Good. Amen? Immortal with God, not immoral to God. See, if we are immoral to God, then we're just hypocrites. We're just sitting here, we're being blown around by every wind of doctrine. What stops us from being confounded, from being confused? The Word of God. How do I know what is right and what is wrong? I can't go by my own moral compass, right? Because my moral compass, outside of the will of God, is only doing what my flesh says. And my flesh is deceitful and wicked. My heart is deceitful and wicked before. There's nothing more ungodly than me. My thoughts, my wills, my way. Christ, he is that chief cornerstone. We're supposed to be conformed in him, founded in him. And those who choose not to this standard, they're crushed. We talked about that this morning. Matthew 21, verses 42 and 44. Did you ever read the Scripture? And the Scriptures he's talking about is Psalm 118:22, Jesus speaking here. The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the chief of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and is it marvelous in our eyes? Verse 44 says, And whosoever shall fall upon this stone shall be broken. All right? Now catch this. But whosoever it shall fall upon, it will grind him to powder. All right? There's two things here. Are you going to fall upon the stone, or is the stone going to fall upon you?
Mm-hmm.
All right? To fall upon the stone, that's when I come to Christ and say, I need fixing. I have sinned. Fix me. Change me. Change me into a workable stone before God. Change whatever needs to be. And the ones who the stone falls upon is those who say, I've already made it. I'm good enough. I don't need the body. Don't give me that Jesus stuff. Well, someday that stone's going to fall on them. And they're going to be ground to dust, to powder. There will be a judgment day.
Amen.
Amen? And that's what Jesus is talking about here. There will be a judgment day. Those who have been called and have come into that cornerstone, into that corner, those are the ones who are chosen to be changed into the living stones of God, to be a part of the building. The body building of Christ, all right, when he chose us. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Peter, just the Peter just before 2 Peter. Chapter 2 and verse 9 says, But you are a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Verse 10 says, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Now catch all of that, what he just said. You, if you are part of this building, you're a chosen generation. Now, this foundation that was laid, which is Christ Jesus, all right? This foundation, now we have the apostles, we have the prophets, the Old Testament saints, the apostles, and the saints that were before us, that great cloud of witnesses that it talks about in Hebrews chapter 14 that we're surrounded by, those are these living blocks, these cornerstones. That's who they are. Now we're supposed to be made like them.
Amen.
We're supposed to be changed, metamorphosized, changed out of who we used to be into who he's making here. And we are these living stones that we're supposed to be holy and blameless, a peculiar people. We're a priesthood. We're a priesthood. And we're supposed to offer up sacrifices that are acceptable to God. You know that song, I bring the sacrifice of praise, and they hold their lighter up and they're waving back and forth. I don't think that's a sacrifice God wants. He doesn't want your groovy music. You know?
Yeah.
Groovy.
Right? And that's
so old. Cool, man. It's groovy. He's not looking for that. Not that he doesn't want songs to worship him. Amen?
Amen.
He doesn't care about the rhythm or the beat too much. No, I take that back because I think he does. There's something about rhythms and stuff that different teaching. Anyhow, there's a way to worship God with honor, with praise, and adoration. Right? Yeah.
Those who diligently
seek it. Amen. It's a diligence. It's a seeking. It's a looking for it. And that we are chosen generation. And our generation, so this probably has several more layers up here because it's been built in the church for 2,000 years, right? So there's several courses. It's only got two courses a block down there. But so Jesus has, I don't know, 1,000 courses a block set already. And some have been set on man's doctrine, which makes the building tilt out of square. But then there's those that are true. All right? And the ones that are true are built on the foundation of Jesus Christ and the apostles' doctrine. Those who build upon that are never confounded. We are that chosen generation for our layer of brick. We're not chosen for the brick that's underneath us or the brick that's above us. It's for our time, our understanding, our today, right? Amen? It's for this time. And God will allow us to know for this time the things that will glorify Him. For this time. I can't help the people from last time, and I can't really help the people for next time. My course of brick needs to be plumb and perfect with the cornerstone of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen? And your course of brick needs to be level and plumb with the cornerstone of Jesus Christ, built on the foundation but laid by the master builder, which was Paul, and he told you that in Corinthians chapter 3. And so, reading on here, we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Jesus called, you were in darkness. There was a time that you were not a living stone. Do you know that? You were the grapple over here. I was the grapple over here. Without form, without comeliness, without anything that God could use in and of myself. My two favorite words again. But God reached into the gravel bag and He pulled you out and He pulled me out and He started showing us what needed to be changed in our life. He showed us the things that must be. I'm going to take that clock down.
Oh, maybe not.
Okay, verse 10. Which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that next week.
Amen.
Amen? Because there's a lot more to this building. There's a lot more to this church.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more to being a living stone than just saying I'm a living stone. There is things that must be done in our personal lives daily. Amen? Okay. Because I have John, I have Matthew, the Revelation, talking about the overcomer. To be a part of this living stone, if you're a living stone, you know what you are? You're an overcomer. You're an overcomer. And to be an overcomer, that's, I was hoping to get to the pillar. Okay? Because the only way that you can become from this to this is to be an overcomer. You're a living stone right now, but you must overcome daily those things which so easily beset you. And as you overcome, there's coming a promise that you can be a pillar in the house of God.
That they without us cannot be made perfect.
Yes! That this building right here, without these pillars right there, without us, cannot be made whole, perfect, sound,
finished,
complete. Amen?
Amen.
So we're, again, just scratching the dirt off of the paint job. There's so much more here. And I've really got to apologize to my wife about breaking her thing. I didn't think it was going to stay out of my better built. It's made in China. Anyhow, let's go to the Lord in prayer and just give him thanks. Father, we do thank you, Lord. We love you. We praise you, Father. We just lift our hearts before you, Lord Jesus. We ask that you would move mighty in and on us, through us, that we could give you all the glory. Father, we're called to be that chosen generation. We're called, Father, to be out in this world, but not of this world, Father. Make us that royal priesthood. Make us, Father, a holy nation. Father, continually work those unseemly sins out of our lives, that you would be glorified in us, your mastery, Lord Father. We thank you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.